We're running a little bit ahead of schedule, so after afternoon tea, we were going to have the Hayden Peter Trust. Are those submitters
here?
Yeah. Are you happy to go now? Come on then.
Go.
Okay.
Moral support.
Is that right? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you have to excuse me, I've got a cold and stuff at the moment, but anyway, box on through.
So. That's right, so I'll just say my normal thing. Thanks for your original submission. We've read that, so you don't need to read it to us, but you're very welcome to highlight key points.
Right. I'd just like to thank the opportunity to come speak to my submission, and like I say, I'll just touch on a few key points.
Yep.
I'm a third generation sheep beef farmer. With Jerry's support, I farm 430 hectares in Waimahaka, southern Southland. That's a map there of Fort Rose Estuary, or where the Cow River goes out to sea. And that's my two farms there, or two blocks of farms. And 2012, I bought a neighbouring property which is farmed organically. And as you can see, there's huge amounts of gorse on it.
Daffodils.
And so this farm's been developed quite a bit in the last few years. So some of the things I'll talk about, some of the reasons why I do things is because of the spot being part of the farm.
Yeah.
I leased the balance of the farm from my parents, and so these are the three. So the block on the far right there, that's the original home farm, mum and dad's. And then there's a bit on the top left on the north side of the road there, so additional bits we've added on. And the bit I just showed you was a bit below the road on the left there. I've always had a passion for agriculture, and as I said in my thing, I've done a lot of agriculture study in the past. And I've also talked about all my pathways to farming, talked about my industry involvement, been an environmental committee member and judge for Environment Southland, Balanced Farm Environmental Awards, I mean. And I just want to start talking about my environmental awareness. First, we've got here is reticulated water systems. On the original farm, we put our first system in 1987, and an additional system in 1995, and another one in 2011, and that last organic block you saw in 2015. First repairing and plantings in 1995. That is the first repairing and plantings we put around. There's one marker stream in behind there. We'll talk about that shortly. As far as biodiversity, we've got a number of sediment traps or duck ponds, native plantings, and extensive shoutabouts. We've been early adoption of best practice, for example, baleage and crop paddocks, grazing towards waterways, selection of cropping paddocks. It's just here on the left there, baleage is on the paddocks, ready to go. Ongoing fencing of waterways, so I've done a farm environment plan, Carl down the back here and Nathan coming up. On this particular farm here, that might be the right map, but anyway, I've got 12 k's of waterways on that farm there, and 60% have been fenced, and Carl said that's pretty high for a sheep beef farmer. I've also did all paddock soil testing on my farm, so I've got 140 paddocks on the farm, and I did them all in 2015, with the aim of reviewing every 3 years. So I've got 5 different soil mixes I put on my farm for different paddocks, to correct deficiencies and whatever elements I'm trying to rectify. I've had a consent from Environment Southland to extract stock water. I've got a bore for this southern bit of, it's hard to see through the middle there, but the southern bit of that map for the organic block, because there's no suitable water on that side of the road. Previously we were extracting out of a creek, but I found that's not going to be reliable moving forward. As I said, I've done a farm focus activity plan for Environment Southland. I received the enablement grant from Environment Southland also to do some further repairing plantings and fencing, which all happened during the winter and into this early spring. I've been involved in catchment groups, and just recently we've sort of established a lower catchment group from Tower River. Moving forward, I can see we probably have one for Tararoa or even one Harker Stream, get real Pacific, but it's a few years off yet. Oh, that might be the maps there. Yeah. So that's a double, people who don't know, the The solid lines are the ones that are double fenced.
Right.
And the ones with the dotted ones are the ones that are not fenced.
Right.
Yeah. Right, so I found the plan quite complex and even the process quite complex. I'm not a policy analyst, but I'm a practical farmer with a long-term view of farming environmentally sustainable farm. So in my submission, I'll just touch on five things that I feel is important to me. So this first one here is, I'll just say what I support here. So I support that sheep not be included. I support the timeframes be extended out. Exclusion of cattle from waterways would make me seriously consider stopping dairy support. I do about 100 dairy cattle each year. So one would be the waterways, and the other one we'll touch on later would be the winter grazing, and the, you know, the area I can cultivate to put crop in for them. So that's a serious problem for not a lot of sheep beef farmers who do dairy support, that there may be one thing that they drop out of the system to make it so that they can continue to farm, and that puts more burden on the dairy industry. So here, this waterway has obviously been fenced off. It's a couple of years old. In here there are tile drains, and you can see the gorse just starting to come in there. That's, like I say, 2 years old. And that there, just downstream but further, where the stock is still grazed to the back. There's a fence on the far side with some repairing planting of sorts. So there's less weed, and the bank's still pretty well intact with no weeds on it. In there, some of it's tile. So I guess I support the ability to maintain and clean waterways as see fit. Here is what happens when you fence off waterways and culverts get blown out because the weed blocks up. So in there was a culvert once upon a time. So it causes a huge cost. This is the apparent planting we did in 1995. There's numerous sites along the stream here now where all the fences are falling in, flax is all falling in. At the time, it was probably a good species or plant of choice, but I think hindsight now, we can probably learn, don't plant flax as a repairing planting. But I think, you know, we need to work together with the council and come up with species that are fit for repairing planting. When I was a wee kid, this one market stream here had no debris in it, but now it's fenced on both sides. There's huge amount of debris in the river now, in the stream now. The banks all become vegetated, and they're all slipping in, and the trees that are there have become old and they're falling in too. So when floods come, you know, this debris just accumulates, and you know, it's going to be huge ongoing costs here. And I don't know, I don't have any solutions to it, but it's a problem. It's a concern for me, who's going to be farming for the next 50 years. Like I say, when I was a wee kid, there's nothing in there. This is some of the sort of development stuff I've done. This is on the organic farm. Pretty rough and ready when I took it over. He just sort of made a bit of a mess, but I've obviously there's a water body there, which I've cleaned out. And all this land to the left of the water body, I've cultivated and developed it and drained it as deemed fit. And anyway, I thought I had a photo there, but that's been double fenced now, and this is one of the areas that's going to get repaired and planted this winter.
Right.
And I suggest with the repair and planting that, like, I'm a big fan of the natives, and I've talked to Carl about various species that we can use. So, and another thought was where the tiles come into to this water body, that we should plant different species so we can quickly identify where the tiles are and a species that doesn't enter the tiles so they don't block up. So I think we need to work together there. I'll be moving on to the winter grazing policies. And so this photo here is demonstrating this in the middle of a paddock. That's a slope over 20 degrees. And it probably takes up more than, I think it's 5% of the paddock, that's what the rule says. And but anyway, from the bottom of that hill to wherever I'm standing, the creek's still another 20 minutes behind me, it's well over 100 metres. And I sort of question why, if it's in the middle of the paddock, no, we should still be able to cultivate that, I feel. And also, we talk about the percent of your farm that can be cultivated, the 50 hectare threshold. And I'll be more in favour of moving back to the 15% threshold that was in the original one. So yeah, that was the paddock, and that's 22% of the hill. So we've done some calculations, got some boards out and did that with the phone. And my neighbour, he's done his farm a bit more thoroughly than I did, and he calculated that 30% of his farm is over 20%. So that's it there. So talked about the other things I like to talk about is farm environment plans. You know, I'm all for them. It needs to be simple, and I suggest that we liaise with Environment South and the liaison officers regarding the plans. I'd rather have this plan than resource consent. You can't beat best practice. I suggest removing the need for nutrient budgets and overseer, as it's only a modelling tool, and it can be subjective, and obviously different areas have different, you know, various different things that can distort the data going in and out. Personally, if we were to have some sort of nutrient budgeting parameters of sorts, I would support the all paddock testing, so you're only applying the nutrients you need to each paddock. Another suggestion would be to be monitoring water quality, whether it is in your catchment groups or, you know, if there's a hot spot, you know, more Pacific. My ultimate outcomes of this land and water plan hearing are: we must have robust science-based solutions, less policy rules and regulations, more best practice, including farm management practices, and minimal need for resource consents, if any, increased collaboration with catchment groups, Environment South and liaison officers for each catchment group, water quality monitoring within each catchment group, and all this to produce an aesthetically pleasing, environmentally sustainable, profitable South and farm economy for generations to come. And my lasting words are, as the saying goes, farming is a privilege, not a right. Our forebears fought for the right to farm in New Zealand. Now I deem it a privilege to be a custodian of the land. Let's hope for generations to come we don't require a license to farm. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to ask any questions, answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. Morris, start with you.
Thanks very much. You used percent and degrees interchangeably. You mean degrees, because percent is quite different. Percent, say 35%, is about the same as 20 degrees.
No, I was talking about the you said 50 hectares or 15% of your area, your farm, rather than slopes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So, rightio. Good, thanks. You also say that overseer or parts of overseer is subjective. What? Can you give some examples of that?
I can't specifically, no. I've been in and around overseer, haven't used it myself. Well, I've been with companies that have used it as a tool, and back then, you know, they were questioning the science behind it, and even now you still see publicity in the papers, people that say there's not enough science behind it and discussing it. And to me, if there's enough, you know, publicity about the pros and cons of it, you know, makes me question if it is the right tool to be using.
You showed a photo, last question, you showed a photo early on of a stream that was filled up with waterweeds, monkey musk and watercress. Would you consider that might have some benefit in filtering runoff from, even though, you know, can cause problems with blocking the drains, but it might also provide a benefit?
Yeah, I'd agree with you to a certain degree, yes.
So you need some sort of happy medium.
Well, as I showed a photo later on, that hasn't been fenced, there's still some of that stuff you're talking about in it to do a bit of that filtering. But yeah, the bit I did fence off was more susceptible to erosion than that, so I fenced it off because it was falling in. There's the other bits, nice tidy bank.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Good afternoon. In your PowerPoint, you showed one block with this, you've done quite a lot of fencing, waterways, riparian. And of course, you've explained the problems that can be associated with it. But I was detecting that really you're also identifying methods to overcome some of those issues by species and what have you. So you think that is a manageable?
I just think we need to work together. Like, you know, this plan, you know, in its current form, you know, parts of it I can't, you know, go along with, but other parts I can. But I think we need to work together as a team and come up with solutions rather than just put rules in, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I understand that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Thanks, Hayden.
Lloyd? No, I think you made your points clear. Thank you. It's great. Thanks for the finish.
And I have no further questions either. Now, is it Murray Peter, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've also read your original submission and the extra information you provided prior to the hearing, so thanks for doing that, but you're very welcome to speak to that and outline for us your key points.
Yeah, well, I was just going to do the points on the latest one that I put in.
Yep.
And a lot of it's been covered by Hayden, and I'm concerned that the next generation of farming might not near as be as profitable as present time, given the circumstances that might be presented with this report.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest concern. I'm second generation. My father got this as a rehab farm in the 50s, and he worked really hard to make it a productive farm. And the big thing that concerns me the most is that we've spent thousands of dollars on tile drains, and it's looking like they're going to be a real humbug given the plan and the way it is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different approach to everybody else. I agree with a lot of the other submitters that the plan itself is quite dictatorial, for want of a better expression, and what you can do and can't do. But I'd just like to comment on sections that pertain to our home farm, which is the Strathallan Trust, which is to do with. The rule 70 about stock exclusion, we go along foolhardy with sheep being excluded and the sheep being included, excluded from the plan, and cattle being excluded, so we can't avoid that.
Yeah.
But we're concerned that if sheep get included in it, the waterways are going to be, how you showed you with the excessive weed. Mm-hmm. I've got tomatoes out of them, which ones, but a lot of them are crossing over what Hayden's already got. Put one up and can see. And you go way back. No, you go forward from there. That's Hayden's. Yep. The farm on the right is the home farm that we're talking about, Strathallan Trust. So you need to be under the Strathallan Trust.
Oh, I see, sorry.
Here's an example where, if you go back to the other one, Hayden, where the standard is and the feed. Yeah, that one there, that is downstream from where those cattle are grazing upstream, and that is only 6 months of being retired, like it's got a crop in it, the paddock, and that's what happened in 6 months. So we're proposing that could well happen if everything's excluded. But if you have stock grazing like in the next one, well, this is part of this, our main stream, is the Y stream that runs up our farm, and this is just shows you that sheep, they can graze effectively on a reasonable sized stream, and we'd like to maintain that. It's fenced on this right hand side, and going forward, we see that we have to temporary fence for cattle to exclude them in the from getting on the caravan version. Right, so that first slide is in that stream there, and up through the top you can see where the riparian planting, we plan to carry on down here, and can show, if you go to the next one, Aidan, that it does help. That does help the actual amount of weed. It's still there though, and so we're looking for solutions to actually be able to control, or be able to use our drains So that was a major thing on the way out. Submission was being able to use the drains effectively. So move on to Rule 23 about intensive winter grazing. We've said has been the 20 hectares has been too restrictive on a farm, in that the farm management practice pretty wide held is, you know, you need to be regrassing your farm with between 10, 15, 20%. And it should be on a percentage similar to what is required to sustainably farm. And the other thing about intensive grazing, is it to do with grass grazing or fodder crop grazing? I can see that if fodder crop grazing, you need a far bigger setback as opposed to just pasture grazing. And I would plan to fence the waterway there for sheep in the winter time, so that it traps the nutrients heading towards the stream, and then be able to graze it without protective fences during the winter, during the summer at least. But following on from that is the Rule 30 about the mapping of surface drains, or subsurface drains, I should say. And I see this is totally impractical, and for what benefit? Surely it's the outlets that are concerned here, because our farm has got, you know, thousands of tiles in it, and without an outlet, you're going to create a hazard further into the paddock. Mm-hmm. So that's a concern. So we need to be able to efficiently clean these drains, whether it be by sprays or minimal mechanical cleaning. And if any repair work needs to be done, do the best you can by putting in straw and stuff to filter the sediment that might enter the tall drains. Another big concern is cultivation of slope. We've got probably 10% of our farm that's over 20 degrees, so. And they're suggesting that 5% is a maximum. And like the photos that Hayden showed before, go the other way. The hill was, that was 22 degrees, that hill there. And if you had to leave that right round there, you'd be effectively 10% of your paddock would be there growing weeds when you were fodder cropping the rest of it. And you know, how are you going to match that back up if you can't cultivate it and go back out into permanent grass? It's a concern. So I would suggest that perhaps a 30% maximum with when you've got plenty of run out like that would be a far better sort of outcome. Mm-hmm. And I support Hayden in his thing about the dairy support. If we're too restricted in being able to graze dairy animals, it'll be one less thing off their financial viability of the farm. So concerned about that. And physiological zones, I think it's a good idea, but it needs more work done on it before it gets included in this plan. As a best practice, we don't graze anything that's going to be intensive graze, in the winter, fodder crops or electric fencing, floodplains, or the next stage up, which is the oxidising area. So there's probably less than probably 5% of our other farms. But, so it doesn't pertain so much to this farm, but I have got some on this farm. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that the plan is a good idea, but it needs a lot of work on it to make it workable for future generations of farmers to farm profitably. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see if we have any questions for you, Warwick.
No, I think the photo's been really good, and I understand the points going across, so thank you.
Yeah, I'm right. You've canvassed issues that other submitters have done. So that's clear. That's good. I've got no questions. Thank you, Chair.
Good afternoon. You mentioned critical source areas and the use of hay bales, perhaps. Do you, other than the creeks and drains, practice critical source area
practice as far as grazing, practice. You mean?
Yeah, or any type, yes.
Critical source area as in grazing, well, we would, like Hayden says, we would start at the top of the paddock and it might be at the top end of it. So as you work down, you're mitigating that, aren't you, rather than the other way around?
Mm.
Yeah. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, is that your main methodology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing we've got so many tile drains in our farm, you know, it works well because you haven't got those open drains. And, you know, when you've got open drains, sure, it's going to be a big factor, isn't it?
Thank you.
Morris?
Thanks. Can we go back to that photo that shows the winter crop on the edge of the stream? And currently the rule is that you've got to be more than 3 metres back from the edge of the stream.
From the edge of the bank or the stream?
Or the edge of the bank, top of the bank, I think it is.
All right.
I could be wrong there. But the new rule, the main point I was going to ask though, the new rule says it's got to be
5 metres.
Yeah, the outer edge of the bed of any river. So this would be classed as a river.
Yeah,
waterway.
So 5 metres would be further out than that. So, and because that looks like pretty flat land. So what do you think?
It actually slopes the other way, and the tile drains are running out to the right.
Okay.
So there's only that one tile drain comes down from where those cattle are, which is about 3/4 of the way down where I have that standard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the other drains go the other way, so that the land slopes the other way, and we will put a fence, the required width there when it's grazed, and the rest of it will be just for a small mob, like dry ewes or something like that, just to finish it off.
Okay.
So that's going to be intensively grazed.
Right. Yeah. So that you're not too worried about that new rule, then making it 5 metres rather than 3 metres?
Oh, well, I do see it as being really restrictive, really. So, you know, because under that, we should be way back out in the paddock, shouldn't we?
A bit more out there.
Yeah.
The other side has got...
But the point is, when you go to sow that paddock out, if this here's all growing weeds, what do you do with that?
Mm.
You know, that's the long and short of it. Because when you go to sow it out, you're going to be out into grass. It's not as though you're going to go out into crop again. Can you not have some leeway there to actually say that, well, if it's going into grass, it can be sown so the weeds and everything are under control.
Yeah.
You know, like within, say, it's going to be just 2 or 3 month period before the grass is up to a decent height to act as a buffer. And that there, the water doesn't drain this way, it goes the other way.
Mm. Yeah. So is there a better way of having a blanket rule then to deal with those sorts of situations?
Well, I think it's like Hayden says, it's working through on a plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't see an annual plan as workable. It's got to be a 5-yearly plan so that there is some flexibility in there. But, you know, as long as it's to, you know, the standards that are required, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
I asked the other people a question too about these farm plans, which I detect that you think are quite good.
Yeah.
What happens when the Land Sustainability Officer says, I don't think you should do that, and you think you should be able to do it?
Well, that's the ruling, isn't it?
Mm.
So you've agreed, signed off on it, so that's the ruling.
Right.
Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, although a farm management plan is sort of more negotiable, I would have thought.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any questions for you, but just sort of 3 comments, just to let you know that the draft national regulations on stock exclusion and the rules as currently recommended to us by the officers, neither of them look to capture sheep, so that might give you some comfort. The staff have recommended to us that the intensive winter grazing rule doesn't capture grass pasture, which is a point that you were concerned about. And we've had lots of submitters tell us that it's not very practical to map existing tile drains, but it is useful to map those outlets. So
yeah,
we're getting a pretty consistent message there. So
yeah.
Yeah. But and thank you very much for coming in and taking the time to present to us. Okay, there's only one other submitter we're going to be scheduled to hear from today. Springlands Group, are they here? Okay, so we're going to break for our afternoon tea now. We'll come back at 3:20 and then we'll hear from Springlands Group. Thank you.